Today, I would like to try to talk with you instead of to you. Leon wrote Cuba on the schedule there. Really, I'd like to chat with you a bit about global youth development. So in this room, we all support one another. You might make the constructive comment, we're preaching to the converted. I want to chat a little bit about others who are thinking about some of these ideas around the world. If I were to begin in my own Hispanic culture, I would say, entre el folclórico del mundo dicen que hay tres maneras o artes de mantener salud, cantar y bailar, contar historias y reflexión. And what that means in Spanish is, cross-culturally in the folkways, there are three healing or youth development strategies: singing and dancing, storytelling, and reflecting. Certainly in a gathering like this one, we celebrate not only the struggle in the lives of the youth, but also the challenges faced by the youth workers. And certainly we're beginning to think about what story will we write for the future of youth work around the world. And so we reflect by connecting. It's interesting to me that Jeffrey Arnett and his colleagues at Clark University make the point that at one point in time, we would say we need to remove poverty for children to succeed, right? And then they would observe that perhaps to remove the poverty, we need to tend to education, right? Access to learning. They would now make the point that our children need to be global. That in the near future, we may have many children in the world who are rich and educated, but not global, therefore they might not succeed. So in the same way, we're working at the beginnings, the very first beginnings of crossing boundaries amongst our own countries and youth work cultures. We need to begin to think about how we role model crossing those boundaries for the young. The World Bank, interestingly enough, recently promulgated a whole report on global youth development. And I was very pleased to see that it had two primary findings. The first is that every youth needs access to youth development. Every youth needs access to what we do. And the more that we can advocate for that together, the stronger and healthier the world will be. The second finding of the World Bank report was that we need necessarily to engage youth on every level of municipal process, on every level of decision making. And they predicted that we will see in countries that thrive economically an engagement of the youth in every aspect of the decision making. So I believe that youth work comes down to how we treat one another. And so in making that connection, we need to relate. And so I have set for myself the goal in the next year to see if I can visit one country a month to think about this question of what is global youth development. So last month I visited Cuba, which is not an easy thing for an American to do with the difference of perspectives in our two countries. This month I'm here in Ireland and Scotland, and next month I plan to go with one of my students to Japan, and the hope would be to generate a book about global youth development. So if that's an idea that you're interested in, I would be glad to hear from you. I would also be glad to be invited to your country to understand what is working in youth work, right? Rarely, we have often thought about what are the challenges, but I think the time has come to begin to presenting to the world not only our history and from where we have come, but what is working, right? So in that global context, if I had to ask two initial questions, it would be how intercultural are we? To what extent do we represent respect and cross boundaries enough to understand all of the cultures that impact the care that we provide? The second is most likely a question around interactivity and how do we connect? And certainly the newer social medias present a tremendous opportunity to get to know one another. I was also recently at the World Bank when, for the first time, instead of drawing the United States at the center of the map, the economists there made the point to draw China at the center of the map, right? And people gasped. And then they made the point, well, in our lifetimes, China might likely drive the world's investment, right? And then they changed the slide and put India to the center of the map and said, perhaps India will drive the world's investment. Picture in a few short years, relating to the Chinese, the way in which we today relate to the United States or to the United Kingdom. They're in a fundamental shift and many risks, but also some tremendous opportunities. In China today, all children are expected to learn English, right? So they're working to be able to talk with us, but will we be able to talk with Chinese? To what extent are we working on Chinese in that equal intercultural exchange? The economists at the World Bank also made, I think, the interesting point that China is in a struggle for its soul, right? It's a rich nation now without freedom. And how in everyday life in China will prosperity be defined? And in China, the struggle is, are we willing to have prosperity if, for example, it even costs the health of our children based on the pollution that they're breathing from the factories that are producing the wealth? Well, in China, the youth-serving sector is just beginning, right? This is a nation, after years of communism and thinking about, can we all come together in one way in a massive population, how would we then think about being different enough to care for our children? And therefore, a tremendous opportunity to work with those in China who would see a youth work. And so in my own classrooms at the University of Pittsburgh now, about a 20% of all the students that arrive are from China. And it's interesting to begin to make that connection. Or the economist challenged the opportunity in India. In India, we have now one of the most advanced technological societies in the world. Will that technology serve to assist India to break its old caste system? To what extent will India be able to reach across cultures? And again, in youth work, we have that kind of milieu connection and that developmental approach, which says that it all does come down to how we treat one another. If we are indeed able to make these connections across cultures, we should then see a flourishing for the children of the world and the economic well-being that can be there for them as we invent new ways of working with one another. If I had to pick four themes in listening carefully at this gathering that have come up for me, it would be that across our nations, we are working now to take youth worker training and professional development to scale. That we all have some things in each of our countries, right? But we've yet to fully organize on every level in each country. And therein, through the technology potentially of CYCNET, right, an ability to share what each of us has built. In my own country, we have many examples of incredibly powerful youth work. For example, the work that goes on with the Circle of Courage and the Life Space interviewing at Star Commonwealth is perhaps some of the best youth work in the world. On the other hand, we have a very low higher education. We could count 5 youth work higher education programs, not 30 like Ontario has in one community. So rather than putting our resources into developing that sector on our own, perhaps the time has come to say, through the technology, our students should study here at the University of Strathclyde, or we should connect fully with the Canadian universities in utilizing the rich curriculum that's built there. Another theme emerging in this gathering powerfully is that youth ultimately will need some form of employment. And we have, as youth workers, always been the people unafraid to go wherever youth needed us to go. So in the agency where I chair the board, when the strip mall across the street went bankrupt, we bought it. Now, what do I know about making a business out of detailing cars? But the young people seem to know it, right? And in connecting the young people with other unemployed workers, we've been able to generate whole new businesses right across the street. Would we own that strip mall forever? Maybe not. Maybe it's our job to get it up and running and turn the ownership over to the business leaders and the youth workers and the youth who are now making entrepreneurial business in that place. A third emerging theme, I think, is in all of the economic change, a desperate need to continue to advocate and to protect the children and to continue to have the UN Convention on the Rights of Children live each and every day in our work. And the fourth is an open, not a closed leadership. There doesn't seem to be a leader here who would say, I'm competing with you, I don't want you. Right? Instead, we would welcome that following connection. So in the 2 minutes I have left, in that visit to Cuba, what I found in going to scale was that youth workers who are able to go to university also, it's such a difficult resource to land, also take the responsibility for guiding and coaching 20 to 30 youth workers in their own neighborhood. And they take on that coaching responsibility in a long-term way. So if we send one to education, we are lifting up 30 more. In terms of youth employment, I saw many examples of hands-on learning in which a country which is incredibly poor, bound there inappropriately, I believe, by my nation, right? That's a whole different political context. But in every shop I visited and every construction business site, there was indeed a hands-on classroom. And if you were building the building, you also had responsibility to spend a couple hours a week teaching a young person how to do that construction role. So there very much was an exchange of knowledge. So as we go, I hope that we will be able to think across cultures in the domains of opportunities that I have begun to list. It's the beginning of a list, and I hope you will help me to add to it. You know, I would add, I would end with a quote from the popular author Graham Greene, who in The Power and the Glory writes, there is one moment in the life of each child which opens the door and lets the future in. And we are all very much a part of that moment. And I thank you. I'm there with you each and every day as you put your lives and your future on the line for the future of the children, the youth, the families, and the communities in your care. So thank you. Well, I had agreed to do some writing for CYCNet, so I'll see with Leon and Tom and Brian how that will best fit. It may not fit best in the journal format, I don't know, but we'll see how we can communicate and share those experiences.
Do you tweet? Can we follow you on tweet?
Did these themes seem to make sense to you? All right. Good. Good. Well, I hope in the next few hours together or by email afterwards, I saw we put out the email list. If you have some thoughts about one thing that you'd like to know about each of these countries as I go, I'd be happy to include that in the process. Thank you, everybody.